Good evening and welcome to our Cent service here at South Parade. It's our evening service. I'd just like to really welcome you. I'd particularly like to welcome my brothers and sisters from the Arabic Christian Fellowship that have come to join us today. And really welcome you to this really exciting baptismal service. Baptisms are one of my favourite types of services, so I quite like weddings, but baptisms are just, they win in the league of services. So I'm incredibly excited to be taking the service today. And I've got some wonderful words from John's Gospel, because for me, no one sums up why we're here and what we do, why we do what we do, quite like John. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Amen. And that is why we're here. If you are in need of the toilet at all, I will think the offering is like quick time, put your money in and then go. It's through that door there. And refreshments will be served afterwards. There's some cakes and bits here, so it'll either be here or it'll be through, it'll be through in the greenhouse. I've been Nathan nod for me. Please join us for tea and coffee and cake and things afterwards. We'd love to see you, we'd love to chat some more. There's also our prayer space in that corner that we'll remind you about later, which is a great place to come and receive prayer and bring anything to our Lord and meet some of the leadership team. We're gonna sing some songs now, which are just beautiful, and just kind of, I feel, really reflect that passage from John. If you'd like to stand and sing with me, that would be great.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for those amazing words. We thank you that no matter what we can do, we cannot fall from your sphere of influence. We cannot be plucked out of your hand. We cannot be taken away from your grace and your love and your mercy for us. Thank you for your Son who died for us. Thank you that you make it so clear, and we have access to this passage in John to make it so clear to us your intention for us and your intention for the world. Oh Lord, I just thank you for just how great you are. I feel like when we sing that last chorus, Lord, when we sing that, it's like we bring out the big guns and we're like, yes, God, you are amazing, and we want to tell you how great you are. But I also thank you that you're not just an amazing God that can do miraculous, wonderful things, but you're also a faithful God, and you stand with us when it becomes tricky. And we just want to thank you for all those wonderful moments when you stand with us. Yeah, we're just going to sing now. We're going to sing Faithful One, Lord. Those beautiful words, Lord. And as we come to kind of the water of baptism and that point of this service, Lord, I just pray that you will just kind of hold us in this place. Let us know that you are faithful and you're unchanging, and you're really a rock of sturdiness where we can depend upon, Lord. In this world where everything seems to change all the time and there are very few things that will be the same, Lord, I just thank you that you are unchanging, that you are always going to be the same today, tomorrow, and forever, Lord. Amen. If you'd like to take a seat, I'm going to have a quick chat about what baptism is. If you've not been to a baptismal service, I promise it's going to be okay. It's a little bit strange for people that haven't seen one before. So we've got a bit of a beautiful PowerPoint. It's very excited, and I've got the logo on there, so just a thing of beauty. This is what I do on my off days. It's really sad. So it's sometimes described as an outward sign of an inward commitment. Believer's baptism is by immersion, so they're literally going to go under the water, but come back again. Dying symbolically to your old life and starting a new one in Christ. Every baptism in the Bible was done by immersion underwater. It is making a declaration of your personal relationship and faith in Jesus as your saviour. No matter how many times I gave that a U, it was determined to spell it as if I was American, so forgive me. So why get baptised? I mean, I would tell you to get baptised because I was baptised and it's the most amazing thing I've ever done, and it has held me in a place when everything has changed and everything has been different. Being baptised and having my faith in Jesus in that moment has held me firm. But I'm just Kate, so we're going to turn to the Bible for some more solid reasoning. So we follow Jesus' example. He was baptised, and he told us to go out and baptise others, and that we would be baptised in the Holy Spirit. Baptism was the norm for every believer. So even Philip and the eunuch, I find it quite unbelievable that they're standing and they're having this chat, and then straight away it's like, baptism. For those who accepted the message were baptised. It's a sign of forgiveness for washing away our sins. And it's about being in Christ. This beautiful diagram of dying, which I don't actually see very well there, but dying and then being buried and then rising to a new life. So just three more reasons. There's lots more in the Bible, lots and lots of explanations of baptism, lots of examples of why be baptised. Three more reasons are to put on Christ. For flying the flag for Jesus, so this is a public, just to scare you now, this is such a lovely public declaration of your faith in front of this group of people, and you join the church. So, we'll move on to the last slide. After the service, there will be some booklets available with these lovely Making Waves booklets in the prayer space. If you just want to come and collect the booklet, if you're thinking about being baptised and you'd just like to have a bit of a look by yourself through a booklet, that's fine. If you want to come and chat to one of the ministry team or one of the Saint leadership team, there will be people around after the service. Just chatting to people through there for tea and coffee, that's fine. And there is a great resource on baptism where I took some of this stuff from, and it's got a lovely link there. I've got the link later. So I'm going to hand over for testimony and for baptism. Oh yeah, no one gets away with it, I'm afraid. That might work, or I might have just turned it off.
Thank you. Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay, brothers and sisters, good evening. My name is Mustafa and I'm from Morocco. 1 year ago, I was a Muslim, a devout Muslim. I grew up in a devout Muslim family environment. During my time at university, I became disillusioned with Islam. I spent a lot of time reading the Quran and the biography of Muhammad by Bukhari and Muslim. I also read a lot of commentary on the internet and so many videos. Some of these were by a man called Brother Rashid, and he helped me a lot to know about Christianity. Because when I was a Muslim, what we think about Christianity is very different. You know, we think that Christians worship three gods. There is a God above, and they worship a man, and a Holy Ghost that we don't see, which is completely wrong. We don't understand it. So this guy helped me. Brother Rashid, he helped me a lot. He criticized Islam and had converted to Christianity. He argued viewers to abandon Islam because reforming the faith was impossible to the strictness of interpretations. I become engrossed in research and thinking about religion and the contradictions of Islam. I realized that what was preached was not put into practice. A lot of Muslims now, if you go to a Muslim country, you'll find that they are Muslims by names. But if you go back to the Quran, and it's not working anymore. And if you go back to the book of Ahadith, you will find a completely different Islam. It's not the Islam they are following, because you might doubt your faith as a Christian. You might think, no, Muslims as well, they are nice, they are okay. But no, they are not following the real Islam, actually. If you go back to the Quran and the verses and the tafsir, whenever I find something in the Quran, I thought probably I understood it wrongly. I go to an imam and I ask him, could you please explain to me? I don't want to leave Islam. Just explain to me. I want to understand. But he can't say anything else out of the books, Quran and the tafsir and the books of Ahadith. So I realized that what was preached was not put into practice. In January 2017, I made a conscious decision to abandon my faith. I no longer accepted Islam and did not wish to adopt any other religion. Because for me, Islam is the absolute truth. I was born a Muslim, my family is a Muslim, they are a devout Muslim family, environment, and I was practicing, I was a very religious person. To find out that this religion, all this was wrong. All this was wrong all the time. I'm 24 years old. And all the time I was wrong. It's like one day you wake up and your parents tells you that actually, well, no, you're your parent. I'm not your father, or I'm not your mother. What would be your reaction then? Who am I? Where did I come from? What is the purpose of all of this? This is the same feeling I had when I find out about Islam. Because most of Muslims right now, if there are Muslims over there in here, they might think, oh, I left Islam because there is things which are forbidden, or there is things, no, I want to enjoy life. No! Me, I just want to know the truth, and I don't care about life, actually. I don't care about life. If you just tell me that there is the hereafter, and Islam is the truth, I will follow it, just tell me. But no, even though when I was a Muslim, I was always saying to my mom sometimes when I talked to her, even though if God appears to me and asks me to kill someone, I would say no, take me to her fire. I don't want to. But in Quran there is the verses who are asking you to kill others. Most of Muslims don't believe so, but they are wrong. Okay, your religion is wrong. You need to study your religion and find out about religion first. If you want to know the truth, otherwise you will just stay your life lost. So yeah, I became atheist for about 4 months. 4 months, I was atheist, depressed. I didn't know where to go. I was lost. But soon after that, I found atheism dissatisfying, as I believed in a creator. There must be a creator. No matter how intelligent you think you are, you can't tell me that this world came from nothing. It's impossible. This world comes from nothing. We are living on this earth right now. In this universe, there is limitless of galaxies, and there is how many universes are there? We don't even know. And you are trying to tell me that all this came from nothing? Are you serious? It's impossible. There must be a creator. There must be someone who created all of this. And nothing caused him, nothing created him, and this is God. And this is how I was thinking when I find out about Christianity. However, gradually I became more and more drawn towards the Christian faith because of its peaceful and non-violent theology. Towards the end of March 2017, I had a dream where I saw a shining light and voice saying to me, "Who do you say that I am?" Actually, I didn't know before that this is a verse in the Bible. It's actually mentioned in many places, but I didn't know, which is a miracle for me. This was repeated twice again, you know, the same night. I remember, I still remember that night before. I didn't sleep till 2 a.m. in the morning. And I was thinking about life because, you know, before I was a very religious person. I want to know. I was looking because there's a lot of Christians who think that Christianity is God looking for man. But me personally, I believe that it's man looking for God. You need to look for God. If you want to know, to find the truth, it should come from you. It should come from you. Otherwise, in the hereafter, you will go and you will tell God, "Oh, no, okay, you didn't find me. You were looking for me, but you didn't find me." But no, it's not like that. It doesn't work like this way. It's you. Jesus will tell you, "You weren't looking for me." You should start. Look for the truth. Look around you. And criticize everything. Don't accept ideas. Don't be open-minded. Don't think that you have the absolute truth. If I was thinking this way, I would never leave Islam and know about Christianity. So I believed that the light and the voice was Jesus Christ. It wasn't a normal dream for me. It's not like you dream and you know, you wake up in the morning, you say, "Oh, it's a bad dream or a good dream." No. It was very different. It was very different. I woke up and oof, I was thinking, "Oh, he asked me a question. Who do you say that I am?" It's a question. And I was looking for him. And I felt like there is a job, a big job waiting for me. I have to do something. I'm looking for something. His words made me look for myself to find Jesus. It's not looking for Jesus. Jesus is not, it's not like he's lost. No, it's you who is lost. I'm looking for myself to find him. And I can't explain him, and I can't describe him. If I could, he wouldn't be Jesus. Because you can't explain eternity. It's eternity. It's not like a person. It's eternity. It's everywhere. It's here, right now. It's inside you, and outside you, and everywhere. You can't explain eternity and you can't comprehend the galaxies. By his grace, we can feel his presence, love and peace. This experience played an important part in drawing me to Christianity. Although I was not definitely Christian by then, but this was the start. I felt like I need to search more. It's me. Because I think that every human being has this feeling inside him. Has this question. Sometimes it comes late, but you will have this question. Who am I? What's the purpose of all of this? Because I'm going to die one day. You are going to live 200 years? You are going to die one day. So you will definitely ask this question. This is not reading in books, you know, nor can it be delivered in lectures. It's something you feel deep in your heart through faith, if you have faith. Jacob is always saying, "Do not accept to be called a religious person, but a believer." Because when you are religious, actually you become blind. You think that you have the absolute truth, and it's wrong. because you might find out one day that you are just wrong. Faith is strong when you believe, but not a religious. Don't be religious. Have faith. If there is something that I have learned from this experience, it would be respect all the creations of the Creator. No matter what religion or faith other people follow, I respect them. And I share love with them, as we are all human beings. It's not my job judging people. It is His. He created all of us, and He's going to judge us. I believe that an unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. Amen. Thank you.
So I was thinking, how could I possibly follow that? And I thought, we'll do some notices. So just to let you know that there's film night coming up here, the screening of the Son of Man film on March the 17th. It'll be in the hall, perhaps. Yep, another Nathan nod. Depend on those. So March the 17th, I'm going to guess church clock at 7:30. There we go. As part of our Easter services, soon we will have a nice Easter flyer for you, which we hope you'll give out to everybody that you know and some that you don't, and encourage them to come and join us for Easter. I've been asked as well to just remind you about church membership today. If you're not a church member and you're interested in becoming one, come and see someone after the service. I'm quite passionate about church membership, so if you want to come and find out about church membership, come and see me. If you want the more balanced view, go and see someone else, because I'll have you signed up by the end of the night. It's really important to come, and all the decisions we make at this church are all done by the church membership, ultimately. Some are made and advised upon, but all the decisions come through the members' meeting. So it's proper democracy. It's the only way to have your say on how money is spent, decisions that are made, activities that take place, is to come and get involved. We don't have as many people come to the meetings as we would like. Sometimes they're not as exciting as we would like. We would like you to come. We would like them to be more exciting. If you come, they will be. Do you have any other notices? No walks, Tim? Nothing? Oh, no. I've got to make it last a bit longer because, you know, people have got to get changed. Okay, right. That's fine. We've got a notice sheet. Everybody got one as you came in. Have a little read of that. Take that away. Pray for the things that go on. Keep them in mind as the week goes on. And we're going to turn to prayer as well. So we should pray for our lovely friend there who's just getting changed, and just the wonderful words that he expressed we cannot follow, but we're gonna try. We're gonna pray for our friends and family who do not yet know Jesus. This is our main mission field, so we need to be praying for this. We need to be praying for opportunities. I need to pray for opportunities in my own home. There are people that we love that don't know Jesus, that are not saved. So let's get praying for how we can do that. Also, our street of the week is Grimthorpe Terrace, which is over towards the Ark. Just pray. There's prayer cards, like postcards that have been going out, that have been being delivered to these streets now. We want those postcards to be reached, for the people to see them, the people to be thinking about it. How can I get involved? How can I have my prayers heard by the church? And also the church locally care about me. We want all that to be recognised. If you want to get involved in delivering some of those postcards, I'm sure Nathan would appreciate any help. And we're also going to pray for the volunteers who make everything here happen, because I think we just need to thank Jesus for them. So we're going to pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful occasion. I thank you that we are able to hear someone's story about how they met with you. Such a powerful, wonderful expression of your light in their life. Thank you that sometimes you make yourself incredibly overtly clear to us. And other times we hear subtle moments of you throughout our day. Just pray that we will draw closer and closer to you. We pray particularly for our friends and family who don't yet know you. We want them to have a relationship. We want them to be saved. But we need to know, we need action as well as the will for this, Lord. And I pray you will help us to be passionate and to be enabled to make this happen, Lord. I pray you'll help us to know what to say and when to say it. We thank you for these prayer postcards, Lord, that are going out to the local streets. I pray that every time someone posts one through the door, that they will be, come on, Jesus, come on, Jesus, come on, Jesus, meet with these people, meet with these people. But I pray also, like we just heard, that person will see that card and they will think, I need to find Jesus. I need to find my Lord. I need to know what this is all about. I need to know why we're here. I pray that these postcards will prompt questions. I pray that people will get sending in their prayer requests. That they will trust and believe that the church here will take action if they need it. And they will know they're not alone. And Lord, I want to just thank you for the volunteers who make up our church family. who are absolutely integral to everything we do here, Lord. Thank you that you love them and that you equip them. Thank you that you will help us to identify better ways of being supportive of them. Lord, and I just pray that if there's anyone that wants to do something that has passion for you in this place, Lord, you will make them feel so desperate to get involved that they won't be able to help but make that known. Yeah, Lord, enable your church, enable your people. Let us be believers. Let us not have religion and be too consumed by the building and by financial things, but that we will pray that the means will be there and we will be ready to step out in faith when you say go. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to have our reading. So it's on page 1196 of most of the church Bibles. There's a couple of Bibles which are different versions, but it's within a page of that. And it is 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 3, verse 10. I'm always the last one to find it, so I'll just give you a couple of extra seconds. I printed it today, so I'm not... They always get stuck together, those little pages. Okay. So we have a final charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and what you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise from salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks, Peter. So we're going to sing and take up our offering. We're going to sing the creed, which felt quite a nice way to state what we believe. you for the privilege to worship you. Thank you that we're able to just speak out our belief and our love and our joy for you. Thank you for this honour and this privilege that we just don't thank you for enough. And we just think of our brothers and sisters. We think about people in persecuted places that don't have that ability. Every time we sing that song, I think, thank you, Jesus, that I'm able to just sing and praise and worship you, Lord. But I pray that one day we will be in a better place in the world, that we will be able to express ourselves more freely everywhere, Lord. And I know that that place will be in glory, will be in heaven when you come again, Lord. But I pray that there will be places that are liberated in our days. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray for Peter as he brings our word to us today. I've hopefully put that at the right height. You might have to put it down a bit. I think I might have overestimated the height difference. Oh, the height difference is incredible. Just want to pray for my brother Peter, Lord. I just want to pray that just Peter is a vehicle to express what you have to tell us today, Lord. I just pray that you will just send your message clearly and concisely and beautifully through him right now. And we just thank you for him. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much to Kate. Thank you to Yakub. It's been a great privilege to be part of this service this evening. And first person I've baptised here, or been involved in baptising here at St. Parade. And the hope and the prayer is that there will be many, many more. And perhaps God is speaking to some of you tonight about first-time commitment to Christ, about baptism. I believe that he is, and that is really, really exciting. And these verses from 2 Timothy are really exciting. If you've come into the middle of this, sense the mission community that is here at Headingley on the Sunday evening, going through a series on 2 Timothy, and we're picking up on that this evening. And what I'm going to do is say a few things about the passage generally that I think are especially relevant to tonight, and then just home in on one phrase in one particular verse. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. What does it tell us about baptism? What does it tell us about the Christian life? How does it speak to us today? There are many, many ways, but I just want to highlight three things quickly. First of all, it tells us that there is a sure word to us in the Bible. And so we read 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful. So there is a sure word for us in the Bible. Not just the 27 books of the New Testament, but the Old Testament, well, all of the 66 books of the Bible speak to us today. They are God's sure word. So there is a sure word to us. There is a good example as well. In fact, there is a great example in the Apostle Paul, because he is someone who believed that this is God's word, but he didn't just believe that, he lived it out in his life day to day. And we see that in verses 10 to 14. His whole way of life backed up his teaching. So we have a sure word and a great example. And also it speaks to us of a challenging journey. The journey of the Christian life, following the Lord Jesus wherever he leads, wherever he sends us, is something that is wonderful, and it is life in all its fullness, and it is so exciting, and it is joyful, but it is challenging as well. And in chapter 4 and verses 3 to 4, we see part of that challenging journey. It's a difficult situation that Paul and Timothy and the other believers of the time were having to live in. So a sure word, a great example, and a challenging journey. And I do want to encourage Andrew Mustafa especially with these words, that there is a sure word for you in the whole of the Bible, a grounding for your faith. The encouragement is to live out your faith day to day, to think about the Apostle Paul and to see someone who believed in God's words, but also who lived it out. But also the fact that it's a challenging journey. As you follow Jesus in today's world, there will be wonderful joy for you. There will be great excitement. There will be life in all its fullness. But alongside that, I believe there will be challenges for you. And God is saying, stick to the path. Keep following Jesus. Press on through thick and thin, and God will be with you. A sure word, a great example, and a challenging journey. And actually, that's a word for each one of us. Wherever we are in our pilgrimage of faith, whatever stage we're at, the Bible is a sure word for us. We are called to live out its teachings as we follow the Lord Jesus. And we're called to live out those things in challenging times. The encouragement is to press on as God gives us strength. There is a particular word, I think, that God wants to speak from these verses. And it's in chapter 3 and verse 15. So that's the general stuff from the wider passage. But now something very, very specific. Chapter 3 and verse 15. We read this. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And it's that powerful phrase, wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, that I just want to spend a little bit longer talking about this evening. First of all, we see that this is about Christ Jesus. It's about the Lord Jesus, who we believe is the Word of God and the Son of God, and he came to this earth and he lived amongst us. He lived a perfect life, but he was killed. He died on the cross, and then he rose again from the dead on the third day. And that story of Christ Jesus, his life and his death and his resurrection, is set forth for us so powerfully in baptism. It's there in the slides that Kate brought up and explained to us, and it's there very much in the symbolism of baptism. Go down into the water and it's like a burial. Come up out of the water and it's like a resurrection. And this is what happens to Jesus. This is the pattern of his life and his death and his rising again. So that phrase tells us about Christ Jesus. But the phrase also tells us that this is to make us wise for salvation. That salvation is found in Jesus, that he comes to save us. And the wonderful message is that Jesus didn't just come and die and rise again. He came to die for us, and he rose again for us. His death and resurrection, his perfect life, actually lead to salvation for us. And so Jesus came and he did nothing wrong and he did everything right. And yet he was placed upon a cross. But the cross in God's plan wasn't a mistake. Yes, it was something that evil people did. But in his sovereignty and in his power and in his grace, God was working. And Jesus died in our place on the cross. The wrong things that we'd done, our rebellion against God, he took on himself as he died on the cross. He died as our substitute. He died in our place. He died that we might be forgiven. And then he rose again from the dead. The Father's amen to his finished work on the cross. He rose again that we might have life. So his death was purposeful. He died that we might be forgiven. His resurrection brings new life to us. And again, baptism illustrates these truths. And the thing that it illustrates perhaps best of all is the forgiveness that is on offer. Jesus died that we might be forgiven, that we might be washed clean of our sin, our rebellion, the wrong things that we've done, the way that we've messed up, the shame that we have. All of it is washed away. And that is symbolized so wonderfully in baptism. It's not that someone in baptism goes down a little bit into the water or goes down halfway or three quarters of the way. They are completely submerged. They are completely immersed. Mustafa asked Yakub and I just to hold him under the water for a split second longer than is usual, just to symbolize that burial and to symbolize that cleansing. And that's exactly what he did. And it's great to see that he came back up out of the water. And everything is absolutely fine. I'm relieved. But it's wonderful, wonderful symbolism of being completely washed clean. And the glorious Christian message is that whatever it is that we've done, however it is that we've messed up, whatever sin we have committed, whatever shame we carry around with us, whatever guilt we have, then Jesus in his death and resurrection can wash us clean, not just from some of it, not just from most of it, but from all of it. Jesus' death covers it all. Jesus' death makes us clean. He makes us new. He makes us whole. We think about how we feel if we've been dirty. Maybe we've been out for a run. Maybe we've got splashed in mud and dirty water. Maybe we haven't washed for a while. And we think about how we feel when we have been washed completely clean. Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we can be completely clean from our sin. So we see Christ Jesus, and so we see wise for salvation. How do we receive these things? How do we know these things for ourselves? How do we know Jesus personally? How do we have this relationship with God that is promised in these verses? We have that relationship through faith. Through trust, through believing in Jesus. We don't need to do anything special and spectacular. We can't work our way towards God. Rather, God reaches out to us and he says, I've done it all for you. All you need to do is have faith in me. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wrongdoing. Turn to me and receive my love and my grace. It's a wonderful verse that Kate began the service with. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is for the whole world. God's love is for all people, the whole group of people in the world. But his love is also very specific and very personal for you. God knows you. He knows how you have messed up. He knows how you have gone wrong. And he loves you just the same. And he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to wash you clean. He wants to make you new. And he calls on you this evening to reach out in faith to him and put your trust in him. And again, once again, we see that symbolized so powerfully in baptism, which just illustrates the faith that we have. The water is there. Jesus has done it all. But what we need to do is step out in faith, and we need to receive. And we need to trust in Jesus. It's going to illustrate this with a chair, and I'd set one loose, but Andrew's sitting on it. So this may take a moment. Nope, that's fine. So this is a story that comes from many, many years ago. about a man called John Patton, who was a cross-cultural missionary. He was working overseas, and he was translating the Bible into a different language. And he got to the word faith, and he wasn't sure how to translate it. And he had some local people who were helping him, and he asked them about faith in their language, and they said, well, there's not really one word. And they were a bit confused, and they weren't quite sure what was meant. And the translator thought for a moment, and he was sitting on his chair, and he pushed his chair out, and he sat on it, and he put his arms out like this so that he was touching nothing at all. And he lifted up his legs like this. And he said, what am I doing? What am I doing now? And the friends who were there used a word which means to lean your whole weight on something. And that is the word that he used to translate faith. What we are called to do is to lean our whole weight on Jesus, to hold nothing back, to trust him with our lives. It's a wholehearted commitment that Jesus is looking for. He has done it all, but he asks us to reach out to him and hold nothing back. And actually, baptism speaks of that as well. It speaks of the life and death of Jesus. It speaks of the cleansing that we receive. It speaks of stepping out in faith. But it also speaks of that 100% fully committed decision for Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Again, it's not a 50% commitment, it's not a half-hearted commitment, it's not even a strong commitment, but holding a bit back. It is holding nothing back. It is stepping out in faith. And so, we have God's word to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Maybe God has spoken to you about some of these things. Maybe God has spoken about a sure word and a great example. Maybe God has challenged you about your Christian life. But maybe he has challenged you about first-time commitment to Jesus, about your need for cleansing, about your need to receive him as Savior and Lord. And maybe he has spoken to you about baptism, about having the sign that follows the reality of Jesus in your life, about knowing that you are cleansed and set free and taking that step of commitment to him. Kate indicated when she was speaking that when she was baptized, something happened. And she was sort of set free and things changed. And that is my own testimony as well. And I will just share it briefly as this comes to a close. I became a Christian in my teenage years, but just struggled to follow it through. And it was at university when I was baptized as a believer. And I could never speak in public. I had a bit of a stammer when I was a child. I had tried at university to say something in a church service. I'd got up to do a book review, and I had to stop halfway through because my chest just tightened up. I had asthma when I was a child as well, and I couldn't speak. And when I came to my baptism, I had my testimony all written out, but I didn't do anywhere near as well as Andrew Mustafa did. Again, I had it all written out, and I had to stop before I got to the end. Fortunately, I had said enough to convince the assembled gathering that I really was a Christian and I really should be baptized. I can imagine, you know, just stopping where, you know, I was aware of my sin and that was it. But no, I was able to carry on at least to the point where everyone was pretty sure that I was a Christian, but I couldn't finish it. And the baptism took place. And as much as I can understand it, God did something in me that day that was just miraculous and just changed things for me personally. I don't presume on it. Every time I get up to speak, I'm aware that it could go wrong. And I'm very, very aware of the grace of God that just comes to me again and again. But something happened on that day that just released something, a new confidence in God, a new gifting. God came and worked by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so, if you're holding back from first-time commitment to Jesus, don't hold back. Receive the cleansing right now in your hearts. Lift your heart to him and turn to him in faith. And if you're holding back from baptism, if you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, I want to encourage you with all of my heart to take this step of faith. In a moment, we're going to sing, and as we come to the end of that song, I'm just going to ask that if God is prompting people, either about first-time commitment to Jesus or moving towards baptism, just to indicate, just by raising your hand. And I do believe that God is prompting people here. Don't hold back from faith in Jesus. Don't hold back from the cleansing that he offers. Don't hold back from baptism. Who knows what God wants to do in your life, but for sure he wants to make you wise for salvation in Jesus Christ, and he wants to lead you forward in the life of discipleship. I'm going to pray just as Matthew and Sarah come back, and then we will move into our final song. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Lord, we believe that you are asking that question of us tonight. Lord, you may not appear to us in a dream, although we recognize your glorious grace and the way that this sometime happens. But we believe that you're here now by the Holy Spirit, and you're asking us that question. Who do you say that I am? Lord, we recognize the biblical answer that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank you for the way the scriptures point to this and the way the Bible makes us wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Christ Jesus, for your life and your death and your resurrection. We thank you for the cleansing that that brings to us as we commit our lives to you. And we thank you for the possibility of baptism, the sign that sets forth so clearly faith in you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, speak into our lives, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. 10,000 reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. and encourage us as we bow together, perhaps with our eyes closed. If anybody is being spoken to here about first-time commitment to Jesus,